For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people. So extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I may preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. In what I'm writing to you, before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, he who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. I know it's already been said. I want to remind you, if you're a guest today, thank you for being here. If you came in a little late, we have right there in front of you somewhere, there's a little QR code. Love for you to scan that. You can put your information in there. And the reason I asked for that is I'd love to be able to send you an email this week just to say thank you for being with us. You can also put a prayer request in there. We pray for your request each and every Monday as we gather as a staff team. And so we would love to be able to know how to walk with you. You know, in this series that we're in right now, in Galatians, we're still in chapter 1, and our series is called Set Free, and it's about what does it look like to be free in Christ from the chains that have bound us. I was reading a story this week about an Englishman who was born in 1725. His name is John Newton. John was he followed in the footsteps of his father, who was a sailor and captained a ship. He himself even captained his own ship when he finally was able to take hold of it was called the African. And what he did, he was a slave trader. He would leave from Guinea and from what is today the Ivory Coast and Sierra Leone, and he would load his cargo, his human cargo. I want to make sure that you hear this. He would load his slaves and he would take them to the West Indies, what we know as today as the Caribbean, and he would sell and traffic in human beings. He would then also take some up to the United Kingdom where his home was, and he would keep that route going. He tells his story. His testimony is that at the age of 23, he was on the high seas in a bad storm, and he thought his boat was going to be destroyed, and he heard the Lord Jesus speak to him, and he surrendered his life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior on the high seas. He, after a few years of continuing his captainship, trying to get out of that, he left and became a pastor. At the age of 39, he became the pastor of several churches. He pastored several churches. He was a theologian. He was a preacher on a circuit. He was a writer of songs. He also became an ardent, very strident abolitionist, seeking to have the slave trade overturned. He writes that he was so convicted of what his former life had been that he began to work actively to destroy that. He became friends with one of the members of Parliament named William Wilberforce, who was younger than him. And through that relationship and actively, Newton lived to be 82, but at 9 months prior before his death, he was able to see slavery and the slave trade abolished in all of the UK. One of his most happy and joyous things that he got to see happen. I think that goes along well with what we're seeing today as we look at the Apostle Paul, who was once a person who was actively trying to destroy the church, and then he becomes one who is a preacher of the gospel for the church. So today, as we jump in here to our study in Galatians, we're going to continue on in verse 11. And for the next 14 verses, we're going to see Paul continue what he started in verse 1 and in verse 10. And there's three aspects that I'm going to try to divide this message into. In fact, I'm not going to try. I'm going to, all right? There are three things that I really want you to catch out of today. We're going to see God's saving grace. We're going to see God's sanctifying grace, and then we're going to see God's sending grace. His saving grace, His sanctifying grace, and His sending grace. Paul, as I said, continues the line of thought in verse 11 that is from verses 1 through 5, and it's not going to be on the screen, but you've got it there pulled up in your copy, hopefully. You remember Paul said that he was an apostle, not by man or not by any other men, not by any people, but it was directly from God. In fact, you go down to verse 10, if you were to look down at verse 10, after he's talked about how he came to know Christ, as he talked about the gospel coming from Christ, he says, hey, listen, if anyone else preaches a different message, a different gospel than the one I've preached, let them be accursed. And he says, listen, this is strong language. Am I trying to please men or am I trying to please God? He said, if I was still trying to please men, I wouldn't be following God. He continues on that as he walks through verse 11, that same type of attitude, that same type of line. And he says, brothers, I don't want you to be unaware of where the gospel comes that I'm preaching to you. Look at verse 12 and what he says. He says, I didn't receive it from any man. He continues on. He wants us to recognize that he did not receive the gospel from any man. In fact, look what he says in verse 12. He says, I received it and it was revealed to me. Now, when something is received, the grace of God specifically that we're talking about here, that he's pointing to, his salvation, the saving grace, he says, it was revealed to me, I received it. That means that somebody had to give it to him. He did nothing for it. He didn't do any, he couldn't do anything for it. See, he's continuing his line of thought that he had in the previous passage. Something outside of him had to happen. I'm glad you're wondering what that is. Turn over to Acts chapter 9 or write that down. Acts chapter 9. Hopefully you're going to remember. In Acts chapter 9, Saul, who that was his Jewish name, Paul, his Roman name, Saul, who was, you're going to see, the head of his class in the religious school, he has been given some letters, some official papers to go to Damascus from Jerusalem. And on his way to Damascus, why was he going to Damascus? Because he was rounding up, he was imprisoning, he was killing and murdering people that were called followers of the way, followers of Jesus. And it says, the passage in Acts chapter 9 says that as he was going, he was encountered by Jesus himself. Look at Acts 9, verses 4 through 5. Four and five say this. Luke is writing, and he says, and falling to the ground, Paul heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said to him, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, who it is that you're persecuting. So here is Saul doing his thing, killing Christians, imprisoning Christians, trying to do whatever he can to stop the way of Jesus, doing what he thought was right, on his way to Damascus, and the grace of God is revealed to him, the scripture says. It says that, in fact, if you continue reading on in Acts chapter 9, it says that everyone with him heard the voice. Paul is the only one that saw. It said a bright light shone around him. He was blinded. Why was he blinded? I believe it was the glory of God that shone upon him. And he saw the risen Lord. He saw Jesus. And at that moment, he was set free. He was set free from imprisoning, set free from murdering, set free from persecuting. Why was he set free? Because the grace of God intercepted his life. Was he looking for it? No, he was going to murder somebody. He was going to persecute, to violently, Isaiah read, violently destroy the church. It was the grace of God. Do you remember what we talked last week about grace. You remember what grace is? Grace is a free gift that God offers to us apart from anything that we do. Apart from anything that we do. God intercepted his life. Why was he set free? Why was he no longer going to persecute them? Because he had received the grace of God, and now he was one of them that he was wanting to previously destroy. He had seen Jesus, and his life was changed. Go back to Galatians 1 now. In Galatians 1, 15 and 16, look what it says here. 15 and 16, the beginning of 16, he says, "But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles." This is all language of grace right here. If you have a pen or you're writing something down, I want you to highlight, circle, whatever. Here's some phrases I want you to see. Look at Paul's words in here. He says, set me apart, called me, revealed his son to me. This is grace language. This is the gift of God given to Paul. This was all God. This wasn't Paul. He wasn't looking for it. And God gave him the gift of salvation. Opened his eyes. Notice what he says. He set me apart from where? My mother's womb. He's going to say on down a little bit more. He says this all happened before the foundation of the world. Flip over. Galatians, Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, says this. Even as he, God, chose us in him, Jesus, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. That language sound familiar? That we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for the adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Not the will of Paul, but the will of God in Christ Jesus. This is a gift of God that he gives to us. And I want you to know, this is something that he's been doing from time immortal, that he will do until Jesus returns. This is the exact same thing that he did with the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. He was set apart in his mother's womb. This is the exact same thing that he did with the prophet Isaiah in 49:1. Isaiah 49:1. I'm giving you these because I want you to go back and see them. This is the exact same thing that the scripture tells us in Luke chapter 1, verse 12, that when Mary came into the presence of Elizabeth, her cousin, that it says that the baby inside Elizabeth leapt, moved, quivered. Why? Because it said the Holy Spirit came upon him. This is exactly what happened with Paul. Paul's going down the road, and saving grace intercepted his life. Do you realize this is the exact same thing that happened to Kyle Gowen? I wasn't walking down a road and a blind light hit me, but I wasn't looking for Jesus and he saved me. Did you know that in this room today, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've submitted your life to Jesus Christ, these passages are for you. This is your story. And you know what is amazing about it? Many of you were walking like hell. Your life did not look anything like it does today. And the scripture tells us that even when you were unlovely, Christ loved you. Even when you were unlovely before the foundation of the world, your name had already been written down. Paul, who was murdering, violently destroying, putting people in prison, do you realize that his date of coming to Christ had been written before anything else had ever happened? Can you think about that in your own life for a moment? That should never make us go, look at me, look how special I am. You know what that does? That makes me go, what? I was deceiving, lying. I did all these other things, and you, God, chose me? Not because of anything I had done? Not before I had done anything good or anything bad. You set your love, your saving grace, your gift of salvation you gave to me. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's what God's doing today in this room. Do you know there are some people in this room today that I believe God is saving? He's calling to life today. He's asking, he's calling you to respond to that. I may not ever know it yet. You may tell me later. But when the Holy Spirit awakens you, opens your eyes, he gives you the gift of grace in your life, he saves you. This is what Paul says. This is what he's talking about. And it's not anything you can do. There is no merit you can earn. The German doctor of theology, Martin Luther, he writes about his will being in bondage to sin, even as a theological doctor. Even as a theological doctor, one who was a theological doctor of the official Roman Catholic doctrine. He said, listen, even as a monk, I was bound in my fear. I was bound in, though I tried to do all the right things. I had baptism, I had the Eucharist, I had confession, I had confirmation, I had holy orders, yet I was in bondage to guilt and shame. But it wasn't until he had read Galatians chapter 3, we'll get there, and Romans chapter 1 verse 17, that the righteous shall live by faith alone. Do you realize there's not anything that we can do? I want to be really clear. I want to make sure you're with me on this. Do not miss me on this. We do nothing to earn our salvation. We do nothing. It doesn't matter what amount of good works you think you can do. You can do nothing. It is all Christ. It is all Christ. I said this last week, but I want to make sure I hit it again. Dallas Willard has written that grace is not opposed to effort. Listen, walking a Christian life is difficult, isn't it? It's difficult. There's an effort that's involved. What grace is not opposed to effort. Grace is opposed to earning. And if you're doing anything thinking you're going to earn the love of Christ, did you, as a follower of Jesus Christ today, if you follow Christ, you say, listen, I'm a Christian, I want you to hear this. Do you realize that you can do nothing to make him love you more? You can do nothing to make him love you less. He loves you where you are. And the salvation he's given you is all grace. Even while I was dead in my trespasses and sin, he gave me life. I'm going to tell you, somebody needs to be shouting about that. That's what this is about. And this is what Paul says. Paul says, listen, it's all grace, Galatians. You're going back to works. You're going back to bondage. Salvation, grace, though, leads toward and produces in us sanctifying grace. The word sanctify means to set apart. To be sanctified means to be set apart. It means to be consecrated, to be made holy. It's growing in the likeness of Jesus. It's that I look more like Christ today than I did yesterday, 2 weeks, 10 days ago, 10 years ago. That I'm going to look more, I'm going to continue looking more like Christ until I see him face to face. This is called progressive sanctification. But the Bible also tells us in Romans that when Christ saved you, he called you, he knew you, he justified you, he sanctified you, he glorified you. That means that your position in Jesus Christ today is sealed and done. Sealed and done. Philippians chapter 1, I believe it's verse 7, says that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Which means he's giving you grace upon grace upon grace so that you might follow him every day. So that you might walk in him. Do you know what Paul's former life was like? Look at verse 13. Verse 13, Paul says, my former way of living in Judaism. I think that's a key phrase you need to catch because he identifies, hey, listen, I am a Jew. I am a Jew by birth. I'm a Roman citizen. I have my Roman citizen, but my life as a Jew is no longer following the way of Judaism. I was arrested and saved by the grace of God on the road to Damascus. He says, this was my former life. What was his former life like? Look what it says. I persecuted the church of God and I violently tried to destroy it. I don't know about you. I don't think there are any people in here who today are trying to go throw Christians in jail. There may be someone in here who's actively working against us. I don't know that. I do believe that the God of this age is working against the things of Christ. I need you to hear me, the church of God. I believe that. I don't think that any of us have that testimony in here today, but no matter what your testimony is, there should be a former way that you used to live. If you say that you follow Jesus Christ, you've been saved by his grace, and your life today looks like it used to look like, there's been no change, I'm going to tell you there's been no Jesus. There has to be, if there's saving grace, then there's going to be sanctifying grace. And you can't do anything to do that. Listen, we do not work for our salvation, but because we've been given the gift of salvation, we work our tails off. We go, we give, we send, we serve, we all of those things. These two folks today that were baptized, they were not baptized. They were not saved because of anything in this water. They were saved by grace alone, because of their faith alone in Jesus Christ alone. Now, if you didn't know, you got to start serving now, okay? But we don't do that so that we earn our love or our keep with the Father. No, we do those things because he's given us so much. We're going to walk in that. Paul says, my former life, I was at the top of the class. Look at verse 14. He says, I was at the top of my class. I was excelling. I was zealous for the traditions of my fathers, the Pharisees, whatever they said, man, I'm going at it. I'm valedictorian right now. I am killing it. Literally, I'm killing it. This is what I'm doing. He says, that's what my former life was all about. I want you to see verse 15. Verse 15 has a very, very important word in it. Verse 15 says this, but. That's a hugely important word when it comes to the gospel. He says, but when he who had set me apart before I was born, you catch that? And who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles. Guys, when God saved you by his grace, do you know why he saved you by his grace? Because he was pleased to reveal his son so that you might preach Christ to those around you. That's what he's called us for. And as we do that, as we go, as we pray, as we allow the Holy Spirit to change us, we're being sanctified. You're not doing it. It's the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of God, that is a grace of God. He's the one that sanctifies us. He's the one that sets us apart. He's the one that changes us from the inside out. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. But when the goodness and kindness and the loving steadfastness of God appeared, he saved us. Not because of works that we have done by our righteousness, because our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. But according to his own mercy, by the washing of the regeneration and the renewal of the Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is the work of God, and it is a gift to us. Look at verse 16 and verse 23. How do I do both of those? I want you to look at them in your text, in your Bible, in your scripture there. Verse 16 and verse 23 say the same thing. They say that Paul went from persecuting the church to preaching the gospel. Let me ask you something. What those of us who have surrendered our life to Christ, what would that testimony be of others about you? Because do you remember at the end of this, verse 23, go to 22. Look at verse 22. Verse 22, he says, I, Paul, was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. I had never been to them. I'd never been to them. He says, I was personally unknown to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only heard the report that the man who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. Listen, what would the testimony of the world be about you and me? Oh, I would pray that they would say, he has come. I hope that the rascals I ran around with in high school, if they saw me today, would go, he is completely different than anything I ever saw. And you know, if they say that, it is only because of the grace of God. That's it. It's not anything I've done, not anything I'll ever do. Do you realize? I come back to you. I say, do you realize a lot? I know that. But I've got you to, I beg you, I want you to understand, we do nothing for our salvation. It was all done by Jesus on the cross. We work for nothing because he did all the work. All we do is we bring our filthy rags and he gives us clothes of righteousness, his. This is what it means to be sanctified. Sanctifying grace by his grace. He, I just want to make a little caveat right here, a little comma. How does that work? Then you obey what you know of the word. Many of us are waiting. We're waiting to either grow or be more mature or, listen, whatever you know of the word, obey it. Obey it. And when you obey the word, what ends up happening is the Holy Spirit, the grace, the gift of God, the grace of God in us, he continues to mature us. Because he who's been faithful with little, he'll put in charge of much. When you do what you feel like is such a, I don't know, should I do this? Listen, if the Holy Spirit says do it, then you do it. Whatever you're reading in the scripture, do that. If it says love your neighbor, listen, don't try to make it harder. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. When the scripture tells you to do something, do it. Because when you do that, you're walking in obedience and you're looking more like Christ every day. Every day. You're not doing that so that he will love you. He already loves you. When the scripture says, love your enemy, love your neighbor, and I don't love my neighbor, do you realize that Jesus still loves me? It breaks his heart that his son and his daughter doesn't want to follow what he says is best for him, where a life of flourishing is. You see, when we obey, we're showing we have saving grace. And the grace that he's given us is now sanctifying us so that we will look more and more like his son. Like his son. And who does that work? Who does that work in us? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says this. It's according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Holy Spirit, for the obedience of Jesus Christ. This is such a Trinitarian passage. God, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. The Son is the Spirit who sanctifies us. But Paul's saving grace produces sanctifying grace, which should lead us to sending grace. Should lead us to sending grace. Notice in verse 21, and maybe just a little bit above, it says that he went to Arabia, he went to Damascus, he was in Syria, he went to Cilicia. He also ended up in Jerusalem for a period of time, though he didn't do any preaching and teaching there. All of these areas, he went. And as he was going, listen, as he's going, do you remember Paul was the overachiever of the Pharisees. He knew the Bible, the Old Testament. And as he's going, I believe the Holy Spirit of God was taking what he had already studied, what he already knew, what he had committed to memory, and now the Holy Spirit of God is filtering all of that learning through Jesus Christ. Filtering it all through Jesus. When it says that he went up, when he says, hey, I didn't get any of this from man, my calling, my salvation. He says, listen, I did go to Jerusalem for 15 days and I saw Cephas, who is Peter, and I saw James. Do I think they talked about Jesus? Yeah, I think they talked about Jesus. Do I think he learned a little bit about, because they walked with him? Yes, that's called like fellowship. That's called fellowship. He wasn't seeking the approval to preach the gospel. He's already been doing this. He obeyed what was given to him, and what was given to him was to go preach the gospels to the Gentile. Go preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And as he was preaching the gospel, as he was going, as he was sowing, as he was praying, as he was baptizing, as he was laying his life down, he was being sanctified all the more. Listen, I was saying this earlier. We have people from this body all over the world. Last year, we sent three teams to Brazil. This year, we'll send three teams to Bangkok. We have people, LifePoint as a whole has 14 individuals in a leadership pipeline, discipleship pipeline, to be sent across the world. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that great? Listen, I know there's going to be people coming out of this body who are going to do that. But I want to tell you, it's not just going across the sea, it's going across the street. It's going across the street. It's going across the cubicle. It's driving to the back of the driving the forklift to the back of the plant so that you can talk to somebody. It's getting on a FaceTime to talk to your neighbor, to talk to your buddy that has been like, you ain't seen him in 15 years, but you text, but I can look at you now and I can talk to you on FaceTime and tell you about Christ has changed me. It is about living a life. You know why? Because you've been saved by grace. You're being sanctified by grace. The Lord God is sending you with his grace to tell others. Why? This is what Paul did. He went, and everywhere he went, he told people about Christ. This is, I met him on the road to Damascus. This is what happened. I wasn't looking for him. He changed me. I once was violently trying to destroy and persecute, and now he's got me as a preacher. Can you believe this? This is what he's called us to do. And I do want to say this to you. We don't go. We don't go because there's natural disasters. We don't go because there's humanitarian needs. We don't go to feed the poor. We don't go so we can build a nice building. Oh, we'll do all of those things. Those are great impetus to be able to go when people are in crisis so that we can. But you know why we go? Because there are people who are dying and going to hell every day who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's the exact same reason that you should go across the street. That's the exact same reason that you should speak to somebody in your office. That's the same reason that you should be talking to your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your aunt, your uncle, your cousin. The person in your small group that you know does not know Jesus. Don't depend on Kyle or Zion or whoever. You share what Jesus has done. Because he's given you grace to do that. By his grace, he's making you sanctified, look like him. And by his grace, he's giving you the power to tell what Jesus has done, how he saved you and changed you. Notice what Paul says in verse 24. In verse 24 of Galatians 1. Paul's sent life, lived by grace. It says, and they glorified God because of me. You know, when you go and you do good things in your name, people praise you. When you go and do gospel work because the Spirit has commanded and saved and changed and sent you, they praise God. You know, the guy John Newton, I started with, He was a slave trader. Told you he was a songwriter. He wrote a song with another man about 20 years prior to his death. The title of the song is Faith Review and Expectation. It was a song that it took probably another 30 years for it to really catch on. We know it today, and we sing it today because of the first two words of the very first stanza of it. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. And the only reason that we now see, the only reason that we are now found is because of the saving grace of God. the grace that took a slave trader, saved him, brought him out, and now he worked to see it abolished. The same grace that took one who violently persecuted and worked against the church, murdering and trying to destroy it, he met him and saved him, and now he's a preacher of it. You know, you have that same testimony. It may not be that you were trying to destroy it, but you were far from him, and he saved you. My question is, have you ever thought about telling your story the way Paul did? This was my life before. This is how I came to know him, and now this is what my life looks like. Maybe you've heard of that before. Before, how, and now. Before Christ, how I came to Christ, and now this is what my life looks like. The question is, have you thought about it? Have you asked the Lord, who is it you want me to tell this to? Some of you in here today, maybe one or two of you, maybe 10 or 15 of you, you need to come to Christ today. You need to respond to the free gift of God, the grace of God, that can only come when you surrender your life to Jesus Christ by faith alone, through grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. In just a few moments, we're going to take communion. It's going to be part of our response. Before we get there, I want to pray and ask the Lord to do a work. Father, I thank you for who you are, for what you've done, for being a God of grace, a God of mercy, one who is long-suffering, who is steadfast, so much so that you sent your Son to die a death that I could never die, these people could never die, so that we might have a life we could never earn on our own. And we thank you for the grace. Today, as we remember that, would you save some today? Would you change us all today? Whether we've never surrendered our lives, would you bring spiritually dead people to life? May today be the day that someone comes to know you, though it has been written long ago. May today be the day that we've recognized the grace you've given us, and now we want to share and tell and go and all of those things. We love you. We honor you. And it's in the name of Jesus I ask these things today. Amen. Here's what I'm going to ask. Deacons, if you're a deacon in this room and you're serving communion today, they're right down here on the front. I'd ask that you go ahead and come, and as soon as you get those, you can begin to pass them out. Let me tell you a little bit about communion real quick. Communion is for those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I would ask that you let that just pass right on by. If you'd like to grab it and come talk to me about it later, I'd love to do that, but communion is specifically designed for those who have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. You've experienced his grace. We take communion together. So when you get it, if you'll just hold on to it, please. I want to read a passage of scripture from Mark. Mark, in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 22, Mark's gospel. He received it from Peter. Peter's telling him about what he experienced, and it says this in verse 22. And as they were eating the Passover meal, he, Jesus, took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly, I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." The disciples who were around that table that night, they didn't fully understand what all was happening. Here, Jesus is redefining the Passover meal. Paul writes to the Corinthians. He says, hey, listen. Again, what I received, I'm now giving to you. And he tells that story right there. And at the close of that story, he says this. A man ought to examine himself before he eats and drinks. Am I a follower of Christ? Do I have something against a brother or a sister I need to seek forgiveness of? There's nothing that can cause you to be disconnected. When I say disconnected, loss of your salvation as a follower of Christ. But maybe there's been some, you've been walking in a season of disobedience, and this is your time, because of the grace of God, to say, God, I come, forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me, and I follow you. I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. I want the joy of my salvation to be returned to me. Here's what I'm going to ask that we do. Here's what I'm going to ask that we do. Zion, this is a little different here. I want to ask, while they examine, will you guys sing that first couple over them? And then I'm going to come back, and we're going to take communion together. If you'd like to sing, you can, but you're going to do it from your seat. This is a time for you and the Father as you talk to Him, and then I'll come back.